Well, would that God would speak to us today. We believe as Christians that the Bible is not just any old book. It is the Word of God. It's inspired by Him. And now we're going to read together this Word of God in the book of Acts of the Apostles, Acts chapter 2, where we read from verses 41 to 47. Acts chapter 2, verses 41 to 47. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. These words that we've just read describe the life and the community life of the first Christians. And they teach us what it means to be a church. But is it possible to be a church in the midst of a crisis like the one we're living through right now? What do you think? Well, that's the topic of this message today. Being a church in the midst of the crisis, of coronavirus crisis. And I'm going to say seven things about this. First of all, even in the midst of this crisis, the Lord calls us to meet. Even in the midst of the crisis, the Lord is calling us to meet. I know that some churches have some kind of illness which is called meetingitis. The number of meetings that a church has is not a good thermometer of their spiritual life. It's possible to have a lot of meetings and not be a church, not be a healthy church. And it's possible to have just a few meetings and to be a very healthy church. But having said that, it's difficult to be a church without meetings, isn't it? Because if we don't meet, in what sense are we a church? 100 believers who never meet do not make a church. And in this passage of the Bible, we can see that the first Christians met. As if they hadn't been taught, like we see here, the doctrine of the apostles. How would they have received the meeting, the teaching if they hadn't met together? How would they have had fellowship if they hadn't been together? Well, they got together. How did they have the Lord's Supper if they didn't meet? They met together. And how about their prayers? Were all of them just individual prayers, or did they all pray together? And what does it mean? What does this phrase here mean in verse 44 here when it says, all the believers were together. All the believers were together. Right now, we cannot be in the normal sense of the word, in other words, physically. But what we can do is to meet in other ways, thanks to technology, Hangouts, Meet, Skype, YouTube. There's quite an alphabet of A to Z of meeting, means to meet in the midst of this crisis. And our church, like many other churches, is offering direct services, meetings of prayer meetings, women's meetings, men's meetings, young people's meetings, activities for children, meetings by zones, discipleship meetings, etc. Opportunities, there's lots of them. What may be lacking in us is the desire, but the Lord is calling us, even in the midst of this crisis, to meet. However we do it, are you doing that? Are you meeting with as the Lord calls us to do? So, first of all, even in the midst of this crisis, the Lord is calling us to meet together. And secondly, even in the midst of this crisis, the Lord is calling us to worship Him. The whole reason for the church's being, its whole reason for existence is to glorify God, to give glory to God. But how is that done? I would say that it's done basically in three main ways. First of all, we glorify God through worship. In other words, we worship Him together as a church. Secondly, we glorify God by fellowship together as believers. And thirdly, we glorify God as a church through evangelism, making known the good news about Jesus to all kinds of people. Where is worship here in this passage, which we just read together in Acts chapter 2? Well, there are various references, several here. We hear about the breaking of bread. That is no doubt a reference to the Lord's Supper. And it was an expression of worship, amongst other things. We're also told here about prayers. And that prayer would include some prayers of worship and of praise, amongst other kinds of prayer. And we're also told that every day, they met in the temple. Temple courts, what would they be doing in the temple courts, these believers? Well, they would be worshipping God, wouldn't they? And where were they together? Outside of the temple and in their homes or wherever they were praising God, it tells us here, verse 47. They were praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Praising God. Yes, it's true that we can and we should worship God in a personal way, individually, at home, wherever. And as couples, families, but the Bible teaches us that God Himself wants us to worship Him altogether. But can we do that now, in the midst of this crisis? It's more difficult, isn't it? But it's not impossible. Even though our meetings may be virtual, our worship can be real, can't it? Are you worshiping the Lord together with other people in the midst of this crisis? So first of all, in the midst of this crisis, the Lord is calling us to meet. Secondly, the Lord is calling us to worship Him. And thirdly, in the midst of this crisis, the Lord is calling us also to learn. What did those first disciples do? They persevered in the teaching of the apostles. verse 42. And what was that about the apostles' teaching? The word here, doctrine, in some versions means teaching. And teaching of the apostles was everything that the apostles were teaching. What did they teach? They taught the Bible. They taught everything that Jesus had taught them. They taught the good news of the gospel. How to be in peace with God, thanks to Jesus. They taught also how to live a life that was truly Christian. The first Christians, immediately after becoming Christians, enrolled in the school of faith. They wanted to learn the theory and the practice of the Christian faith. What about us? What about you? What is a Christian? A Christian is a disciple of Christ. And what's a disciple? Somebody who learns. Are you all learning? Are you still learning? How are you doing it in this crisis? First of all, the Lord calls us to worship, to be together, to worship, to learn. And fourthly, in the midst of this crisis, the Lord is calling us to pray, to pray. Those first Christians persevered in prayer, it says here in verse 42. But what is prayer? Prayer is simply speaking to God. What a privilege. God is so big and so good, and we are so small and so bad. But he invites us and he encourages us to speak to him directly. What a wonder that is. But we're told here about prayers. There were obviously different kinds of prayer at different moments of the day. And there are at least five different kinds of prayer. There are prayers of praise, to praise God for being as he is and for being like he is. There are prayers of confession of sins. We confess to God our many sins. There are prayers of gratitude. We give thanks to God. We're thankful for all the ways that he has blessed us and that he's still blessing us. There are prayers of intercession. When we pray for one another, when we pray for people who are especially needy in of our prayers, and there are prayers of requests when we pray for ourselves, because we also have our own needs. And the Lord wants us to pray on our own, and he wants us to pray together. But can we pray together in the middle of the crisis? Many of us are already doing that. And if we stop praying together, we would stop being a church. So, first of all, in the midst of this crisis, the Lord is calling us to be together. He's calling us to worship him. Thirdly, he's calling us to learn. Fourthly, he's calling us to pray. And fifthly, even in the midst of this crisis of the coronavirus, the Lord is calling us also to share, to share. But to share in what sense? We're told here that those first Christians persevered in fellowship, breaking of bread, and fellowship with each other. And the essence of fellowship is to have something sharing, to get in sharing something in common, and on the basis of that, to share. They talk about the breaking of bread. almost certainly the Lord's Supper was another way of sharing together. In one sense, the breaking of bread is a shared meal. It's shared together amongst brothers and sisters. Look here at Acts 2:44, talking about sharing. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Everything in common. Everything. That's fellowship. That's verse 44. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Sharing is this. So that there was nobody with great need amongst them. They shared out, they distributed amongst themselves. And in 46 too, we're told also about this. They persevered. They had everything together. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, sharing in their homes, meals together and fellowship together. As believers, in spite of the many differences that there are amongst us, we share the same faith. There are many differences, but we share the same faith, the same salvation in Jesus. We share the bread and the wine of the Lord's Supper. We share, very often, our homes. We share everything we have. We share with the needy amongst us. But can we do all that now, in the midst of this crisis? Sadly, no. We can't do everything, all of that. Right now, it would be very complicated to share, for example, our bread and wine of the Lord's Supper. And we can't share our homes at the moment. But even in the midst of this crisis, we can carry on sharing many things. And we should and we ought love each other still and help each other still, shouldn't we? We can and we ought to carry on sharing, even in the midst of this crisis. So the Lord calls us to meet together. He's calling us to worship Him. He's calling us to learn and carry on learning. He's calling us to pray as individuals and together. He's calling us to share. Sixthly, even in the midst of this crisis, the Lord is calling us to shine, to shine. If sharing is what we do amongst ourselves as believers, as a church, shining is what we have to do to people outside the community of faith. Do you see that here? In this passage of the Bible, listen to the words, verse 44 to 47. They were together in the temple and they met together in temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and listening to this and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Do you see here the impact of the lives of those first believers, those first Christians, on the people who were around them? Verses 46 and 47. The author of Acts tells us they praised God and they enjoyed the favor of all the people. All the people means everybody outside, the society around them, the neighbors. Such was the lives of that community of Christians that even people from outside who weren't Christians respected them and they admired them. And then it says here, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. They didn't just enjoy the favor of all the people outside the church. They didn't just enjoy the respect or admiration of people outside. They also, more and more people were actually beginning to believe in Jesus as their Savior. We cannot save anybody. Only the Lord can do that. But what I think what we can do and what we ought to do is to shine. Can we do that? Can we shine in the midst of this crisis? I believe we can. That we can and we should do that. Shine. How can we shine? We can shine by living as believers in this crisis. Are you living out your faith in the midst of this crisis? We can shine by not giving in to the panic, the collective panic, which we note in the atmosphere around us, that panic. But as believers who trust in God and who trust in His control of all things, we should not be falling into this panic, this collective panic. It's another way of shining in this crisis. And we can also shine simply by loving each other. According to Jesus, that's how people will know that we are His disciples. If we love each other as He loved, not just loving each other, but also loving our neighbors. Is that not the second most important commandment after you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength? What's this? You will love your neighbors yourself. It's the second commandment, most important commandment. We can do it. We should do it to shine in the midst of this crisis. And we can shine by seeking the chance, opportunity to share about Jesus, about God, with people. What better thing is there to do than share Jesus, the message of hope that there is in Jesus? So, even in the midst of this crisis, the Lord is calling us to meet, to worship Him, to carry on meeting, to carry on learning, to pray together, to share, to shine. And lastly, seventh, even in the midst of this crisis, the Lord is calling us to persevere, to persevere. Can you see that word here in this passage? It comes twice. First of all, in verse 42, they persevered in breaking of bread, etc. They persevered. They carried on doing that. They devoted themselves to it. Verse 46, they continued. They continued. In Spanish, it says persevered. They continued to meet together, etc. What does this imply, this idea of continuing, of going on? Well, it implies many things. It implies that the Christian life is not easy. It isn't easy. We have to persevere. We have to go forward, even when it's hard to do it. The word persevere here implies that we're not running a race of a 100-meter sprint. We're running a marathon. And that requires us to have to carry on, to hold, hang in there. It also applies not just beginning Christian life. Yes, we begin it. But then we have to carry on living out this Christian life. Sometimes it's easy to begin, but it's not so easy to carry on, go forward. Well, the Lord is calling us to carry on, to continue in that Christian life. Carrying on implies a commitment, a lifelong commitment. Sometimes today we don't want those kind of commitments. But it's impossible to be a Christian or to be a church, a true church, without having that commitment to God, to Jesus. Because He is our Savior. He's our Lord. And following Him is a commitment until the end. Whatever happens, we have to persevere. But perhaps you are thinking, can we do that in this crisis? Is it possible to persevere in the midst of this crisis? Let me tell you two things about this. The first thing is, I've already said, the Lord is calling us to persevere. He's calling us, He expects it of us, that we carry on in our faith in Him. But the second thing is, of great encouragement, I hope it is for you today. He doesn't just call us to carry on, although He does that. The Lord called us. He encourages us to carry on. He Himself promises to be with us and to help us so that we can persevere, so that we can carry on in spite of this crisis, in spite of all the difficulties, in spite of all the sufferings and trials of this life. The Lord is the one who's helping us to be able to carry on. While we're coming to the close of this, the situation that we're living through right now, it's not at all easy. It's not at all easy. There have been and there will be many deaths, 20,000 only here in Spain, more than 150,000 over the globe, over the earth. There are very many people and families very affected by this crisis. And there are, without exaggerating, millions of people with problems, economic problems, as a consequence of this crisis. And the majority of us are shut in our homes. Many of us with children at home, in a very small space. And all of that is hard, very hard. But even in the midst of this crisis that we're living through, the Lord, our Lord, is still calling us to be what we are, to be a church. He calls us to gather together in spite of the difficulties of doing so. He calls us to carry on worshiping Him. He calls us to carry on learning from His word. He calls us to carry on praying, maybe more than ever, on our own and also together. He calls us to share what we have with each other and with other people who are needy outside. He calls us to shine, to have that witness before the people were living around us. Today, people who still don't believe in Jesus, but we have to find ways of shining before these people. And the Lord calls us also to persevere, to not faint, to not give up, to carry on with His help. Because until now, The Lord has helped us. And he is helping us. And he will carry on helping us to the end.